Can a survey change the future? Maybe this one can. Cannabis education is inconsistent at best and missing or misleading at worst. How can we make cannabis education better? What if we ask people who use or are thinking about using cannabis a bunch of questions? What if we ask pharmacists who could be teaching people about cannabis a bunch of questions? And then, what if the answers from those questions were used to help pharmacists teach people about cannabis better? Well, this is exactly what pharmacists as cannabis educators, or PACE, are doing. And PACE needs you to fill out a survey. PACE needs as many people as possible to fill out a survey. PACE needs you to fill out a survey on or before May 12th. This is a limited time offer for you to help change the future of cannabis education. To participate, go to promo.reefermed.ca. That's promo, promo.reefermed.ca.
I would not be surprised that some of the greatest resistance are people that have investment in pharma.
I said, Mom, I'm here to tell you cannabis is what saved me.
Hi, I'm David Crosby, and you're listening to Reefer Madness, the podcast.
It's Reefer Madness, the podcast, with Trevor and Kirk.
Kirk, we're back for part two.
Part two? This is really cool. These are cool stories you've brought.
So for those of you who haven't listened to part one, go back and listen. Do this out of order. It doesn't really matter, but I think you're missing out on some cool interviews if you don't listen to part one. But I was at a conference in Florida, CanMed 2023, talked on a panel, listen to some interesting talks. But of course, one of the most interesting parts is just sort of wandering around and meeting people and saying, hey, can I record a little bit of audio from you? So this time I'd like to start with Dr. Joe Thompson. So one of the nights they said dinner will be on Lanai Beach. So if you go to a conference in Manitoba and they say dinner will be on Lanai Beach, that means there is some room in the conference center called Lanai Beach. But we're in Florida, so dinner on Lanai Beach meant literally dinner out on a beach. That sounds like a lovely idea. But when it's over 30 degrees C and you have a bald head, it's not as comfortable as you'd think. So thankfully I found a ball cap, threw that on, and spent a goodly chunk of time before supper was served trying to find some freaking shade. I met another gentleman who was trying to find some shade beside a pole. And his name was Dr. Joe Thompson. So Joe Thompson is a pediatrician by training, but he is now the president and CEO of the Arkansas Center for Health Improvement. And one of the really cool things I thought is they're going to try and link up some databases. So they got a database of people who sort of have a medical authorization to use cannabis, a green card if you prefer, and they have a database of health stuff going on in Arkansas. So, you know, people who, you know, what drugs were paid for, what tests were done, what medical conditions, all that sort of thing. And they're going to try to link those up and see what they can find about sort of the health status of people in Arkansas who both are using cannabis and are hopefully in these other insurance databases. And what that reminded me of instantly was the TOPS trial, where they took people who are going in Canada, who are going to various cannabis clinics across Canada using medical cannabis, and they sort of tracked their prescription drug use and saw that all of their prescription drugs started dropping, including especially things like opioids and benzos, and even just how much money they were spending on their prescription drugs. Yes, as a pharmacist, I focus in on the prescription drugs. But it'll be really cool to see 6 months, a year down the road, what this group from Arkansas, led by Dr. Joe Thompson, might find.
I'm on the webpage. Off camera, we were talking about this, and I just clicked on, as you were talking, I just clicked on something here. Arkansas's Healthcare Transparency Initiative. So this is, includes all state All Payers Claims Database is a large-scale database that contains medical, pharmacy, and dental care and enrollment data and providers file, as well as vital records, disease registries, hospital discharges, emergency departments, medical marijuana data, etc. So this is a huge database. Now, what I've got here is Arkansas Department of Health data, 100,617 individuals are registered as medical marijuana cardholders from August 2018 to September 2020. They also had 372,696 children born between 2013 and 2021. So it's quite a robust database.
Yeah, as both, you know, someone who likes the prescription drugs and math, I think there hopefully will be some interesting and surprising correlations they get out of sort of putting these databases together and querying them and see kind of what pops out.
Yeah, well, and as we're saying, the only thing that I wonder about is that the name of the database is called... it's called the Arkansas All Payers Claims Database. So there's an assumption here that cannabis medical card holders are getting some sort of insurance.
Well, and we talked about off camera. The short answer is neither of us know for sure, but I interpret that just meaning that is all sort of insurance claims in the state. Because you remember, you know, south of the border, everything from, you know, setting a leg in an emergency room to, you know, getting a chest x-ray to filling your antibiotic all gets paid either by you shell out of pocket or an insurance company pays. So I when it seems all payers, I just think it's all the whole health record is how I interpret it. But
yeah, no. This is fantastic. It's interesting though. During COVID, I think one of the things we learned about the Canadian and the American health systems is that none of them are linked, and they ask different questions and define things differently. So it'd be interesting to see how this database
Absolutely.
Works.
But with instead of us speculating on what they'll be looking for, let's listen to Joe Thompson talk about the project.
So we've got Dr. Joe Thompson from Arkansas, and he's got a really interesting database that he's starting to work with. Dr. Thompson, tell us about who you're working with and what you guys are doing.
So I run the Arkansas Center for Health Improvement, and we run a unique database that our state has, several other states have, called an all-payer claims database. This is a requirement of healthcare companies, insurance companies, Medicaid, Medicare, to put their claims data into a database to support transparency efforts on cost containment and improved quality. In Arkansas, we also had introduced medical marijuana in 2019 so that we're able to track individuals, not with their identity, but that have been participating in the medical marijuana use to see if it affects their healthcare utilization.
So I'm kind of picturing this being like the top study in Canada we've talked about, but I'm really interested to see what you guys find in, you know, 6 to 7 months. Do you mind if we contact you later to see what happened?
No, please feel free to come back. This is the first of its kind funded study by the National Institutes for Health, and I think there will be a lot of interest on the findings that we generate.
Thank you very much.
So another person I ran into was Dr. Leah Johnson. She is a pharmacist. She does lots of different things, but for this, I guess she was with the Pharmacist Cannabis Coalition of California, which she happens to be the treasurer of at the moment, and they were talking about palliative care. So, Kirk, you did a little bit of reading on Ryan's Law and palliative care. They had a poster on this.
Yeah.
So what were some of your thoughts?
Well, first thing, there's more than one Ryan's Law in California. But having said that, I found this one, and it's very cool. and without getting specific, as they talk about in Spiel, but what I found interesting is that on a web page called Americans for Safe Access, which is an organization of basically helping people access cannabis, they have a healthcare facilities guide to implementing Ryan's Law. So basically what I find very cool about this is that they have a system-wide paint by numbers process on how to supply cannabis and allow patients to have cannabis. This reminds me of our story that we did with Manitoba's top pot doc, Dr. Dinnick, Dr. Dinnick was episode what? Why has cancer gone to pot? Episode 71. Googling my own webpage, but yeah, they talked about how Winnipeg allows cannabis now in the palliative care. But I'm just thinking, I don't think that's system wide in Manitoba. I would think through shared health that you could get it, but you know, I never checked if cannabis was part of our local cancer program. I digress against Ryan's law. So yes, statewide they have a law that means that facilities must honor families that want to bring cannabis in.
Yeah, and so let's let Dr. Leah talk about her poster.
So Kirk, I didn't have to go very far, but of course I found a pharmacist. We've got Dr. Leah Johnson, and she's going to tell us a little bit about Ryan's Law in California.
Thank you so much, Trevor. So Ryan's Law is very important. It means a lot to me and my nonprofit organization, the Pharmacist Cannabis Coalition of California. The purpose of Ryan's Law is to help to allow the use of medical cannabis for compassionate use for patients who are terminally ill, meaning they have about a year to live or less. And this is to be used at facilities such as long-term care facilities or hospitals, which normally you would not be able to use it. It's a really great law, it's really effective, and it really should be promoted in other states to get patients off of the end-of-life meds they put them on. It helps patients reduce the amount of, they don't usually use morphine, their anti-anxieties, or their pain meds, and instead they utilize their cannabis and they're happy and they actually have the ability to say goodbye to their family, which is really just the purpose of the law of Ryan's Law, is really just to allow the patient to die with dignity and to be able to enjoy the last bit of their life in peace.
So can you talk a little bit about the current treatment and things like comfort packs versus patients getting access to cannabis?
Yeah, so it's sad that especially in California, but in all over the U.S., we're seeing that in many other countries, actually, that they just give comfort packs when patients are terminally ill, meaning that it's just pretty much a set regimen of morphine, anti-anxiety, usually lorazepam, anti-pain, and sleep medication. So a lot of times with these together, they just cause so many problems, the patient just ends up sedated. And a lot of times it's made as a scheduled regimen as opposed to an as needed. So the patients are forced to take it and they might not actually need those at the time. Ryan's Law, sadly, it's to get the cannabis in the facility, you have to go through hoops. So you can easily get this packet of meds that is not really the best way to have the end of your life versus cannabis, which you have to, the patient themselves will have to leave the long-term care facility or hospital to go to a doctor to get a recommendation for cannabis. Then they have to have either themselves or their family members or friends buy the cannabis, bring it into the facility. It has to be check marked by the nursing team or the pharmacist, and then it needs to be kept in a locked box by their bedside. And then you have to have somebody such as themselves or a caregiver to give it to them, which is ludicrous because the nurses in the facilities, at least in the state of California, cannot gift them the cannabis that they need. So as much as Ryan's Law is amazing and we're so happy that it exists to allow for the use of medical cannabis, there's so much more that needs to be done to really allow the patients to be able to access the cannabis easily, especially for those who are unable to leave the facilities to access their cannabis.
Thank you, Dr. Leah. That was great. And we'll post links later, but she's got a podcast too, and we'll post how to get to that.
Akeem Gardner. So, So I think I mentioned a little bit last episode without me sounding like I'm socially anxious. I was a little socially anxious. And so again, the first event was just a big mixer that one night, and I don't know anyone, and I'm not quite sure who to talk to. But thankfully this guy came up to me and read my name tag and said, "Hi, Trevor, what are you doing here?" And we got to talking, and turned out he was Canadian. So, you know, one of the reasons he's a nice guy. And then, you know, we got to laugh over the fact the sliders were taken away too quickly. And he said he was nervous about this talk that he was going to be doing on the main stage. After the fact, I now understand why. So he was going to be giving a very technical, very science-heavy talk to a room full of cannabis doctors and researchers. Good news is, Akeem killed it during his talk. He did a fantastic job. He even handled some challenges. Hecklers is too strong. Some challenges from the audience afterwards. And then I got to collect some audio from Akeem right after his talk. And I think he was still sort of riding the high of the talk going so well. You know, before we got on mic, you know, he's from Mississauga. He's a huge basketball fan. He has a nephew who Uncle Akeem really, really, really wants to grow up to be the next LeBron James. But for the purposes of our story, Akeem is a Canadian lawyer who decided to become a hemp farmer. And then he said, well, that hemp farming thing might have been the best, worst mistake I ever made, because that didn't turn out so well. And he's now the CEO of a biotech company. It's called Canerta. And the talk he was giving was about canflavins, which was a part of the cannabis plant I'd never heard of before. But apparently they have some potential to be anti-inflammatory. And specifically in his talk, he was talking about the canflavins' potential to treat glioblastoma, which is a common and aggressive form of brain cancer.
Yeah, I'm on his webpage. It's fascinating stuff. This is scientists and businesses that are taking the cannabis plant and taking its components and studying it. Now, big parts of our audience and cannabis culture don't believe that you can do this because it's the entourage effect, right? But I guess when you look at it from a scientific perspective, that there's so many components to this plant, that why shouldn't it be studied? Why shouldn't we look at every component of it? And
and sort of a teaser for future episodes, that was actually even at this conference a big dichotomy. There was definitely the whole plant people who, you know, you shouldn't ever treat a disease with anything other than the whole plant. And then I was at the capital markets part. Well, the way pharma works is you extract a component from something and use that one component, or say one cannabinoid, to treat one indication. That's how pharma works. So, you know, if you're going to quote unquote make money at this, you need to pull out a component and treat a condition. And the two groups don't really meet, really, kind of. Well, but, you know, we've got a future interview with Dr. Ethan Russo, and we'll tease with, he thinks, you know, maybe there are third ways between whole plant and just individual extractions.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I am one of those that sit on the fence. I mean, in healthcare, as a nurse, registered nurse, I have to think of the science. I have to think about the social science of it and the chemical science of it, that if we're going to treat cannabis as medicine, then isolating the various components of it is important. But then looking at it from the perspective of the social science and the green culture and how the plant is the plant, the entourage effect is powerful, because especially, and again, we're sneaking into Ethan Russo's episode, which I'll probably run next, you know, after this one. But, you know, sometimes when you isolate a certain component and pharmacology, what do you do when you pharmacize it? When you make it into a chemistry medicine, sometimes there's severe side effects and it doesn't always work. I mean, so I get it. I think Akeem's on to something. I support the fact of break the plant up, study the hell out of it. I support that. And Hakeem, I think he's a powerful future entrepreneur in the cannabis industry.
So with that, let's hear from Hakeem.
So we're still here at CanMed 23, and there's a number of Canadians here. One of the very interesting ones is Hakeem. So Hakeem started in law and then decided to make a transition in his career. Hakeem, where did you go from law?
Yeah, so I graduated from law school, and in the midst of accrediting my law degree, I ended up on a farm growing hemp. Who knew, right? But the best decision that I ever could have made, even though I got my ass kicked, like, who tries to go and farm 60 acres of hemp with garden clippers and a 4x4 truck? Only Hakeem, right? But like I said, best decision I ever could have made, because I knew that there was opportunity in cannabis when we were legalizing in 2018, and industrial hemp is one of the hidden gems that the earth has given us, God's given us. And that led me eventually to these professors at the University of Guelph who are doing some really, really interesting work on novel molecules found in the cannabis hemp plant, and I'm very fortunate enough to be the beneficiary of their work, now being the CEO and founder of Kernerda Inc., moving forward these cannabis polyphenols and working through all the incredible activity that they can have to impact both human and animal health.
Hakeem, that's great. Now, you just gave a long talk. We won't make you repeat the whole thing, but tell me a little bit about what you guys are doing with tell us what glioblastoma is and a little bit about what your molecules might do there.
So over here at CanMed, I'm here giving a talk about limiting glioblastoma invasion and survival with cannabis-derived flavonoids. And as I mentioned, what we are looking at is some of these rare molecules that are in the plant, the prenylated flavonoids, canflavin A and B, and what impact these canflavins might have on glioblastoma or brain cancer, and how what we learned there might be attributable to other cancers like breast, liver, lungs, so on and so forth. The big thing that we know is that our canflavins inhibit the TrkB receptor. That's one of their main mechanisms of action when it comes to anti-cancer activity. And because of what these molecules do in inhibiting this receptor that's deregulated in a variety of different cancers, we can then start to formulate and concentrate different solutions that might be able to help the underlying abnormalities in GBM brain cancer.
Thanks a lot, Hakeem, and we look forward to hearing more out of your company down the road. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having us, Trevor.
So Bruce is kind of the definition of jack of all trades in the nicest possible way. So from the Canadian part, and he's an American dude, but so he was involved with Prairie Plant Systems. So if you remember way back to the late 90s, early 2000s, this was the place in 2000 where you could get legal Canadian government grown cannabis, and they're growing it in a mine near Flin Flon, Manitoba. Now let's ignore the fact that many people weren't particularly impressed with how good it was, but it was legal Canadian government grown stuff, and this was from Prairie Plant Systems. So Prairie Plant eventually became CanaMed in Saskatoon, and then eventually got bought out by Aurora. But Bruce was involved with that. Bruce is a former lawyer who used to fight cases against the FDA, so he is incredibly steeped in, you know, all the legal intricacies of the FDA. Got to listen to him being on a panel or two talking about the ins and outs of that. Of course, you know, he's also a former immunologist, so he's got the heavy-duty science background. But what we're talking with Bruce about today is his company is developing a competitor to Sativex. And Sativex is a spray, a CBD THC spray under the tongue for MS, which had been relatively successful. Now, it's got a few downsides, including there's a lot of alcohol you're spraying under your tongue that, you know, not everybody wants. And the second is it doesn't taste so good. So Bruce's company is looking at making a sublingual tablet to go under the tongue for the same indication. I know you've been Googling Bruce too. What other things of Bruce did you find?
Oh, I just, he's a fascinating character. I Googled him on biomedical science experts, sciences experts, and he's considered a top investor in biomedical ventures and consultant FDA, USDA, the EPA. He's been management of boards of biomedical companies. They basically refer to him as a successful entrepreneur starting several pharmaceutical companies and raising funds, and continues on the board of several biomedical companies. So he's definitely a biochemical investor. So he's, and I mean, he comes with the science background. He comes with a, is he not also a lawyer?
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lawyer and a PhD, dangerous combination.
And super nice. When he heard I had an early flight out to leave, he said, "Well, you know, I think so and so is leaving at that point. Do you want me to see if the two of you can share a cab?" So, well, I appreciate that, Bruce, but I did actually organize that. Right. Okay, well, you just let me know. So, on top of everything else, just a nice guy.
You gave up another interview in a cab to the way to the airport?
Yeah,
I wasn't. Imagine you were quite exhausted after all this.
I was just going to say that cab ride to the airport was just semi-conscious. But let's ignore my cab rides for the moment and let's listen to Bruce.
At CanMed again, and we've got Bruce Mackler. And Bruce and his team have a sublingual cannabis treatment that they're working on for MS and other conditions. And let's have Bruce tell us a little bit about it.
I'm delighted. Thank you for the opportunity. We are developing, cannabis may be a big stretch. It's more like a drug which has highly purified components of cannabis, THC and CBD. Both THC and CBD have been approved in other drugs. THC has been around since 1985 in Marinol to treat chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting. CBD has been approved about 5 years ago for pediatric epilepsy syndromes. So these are drugs, reagents, which are previously approved and very safe. And we have formulated them into a tablet that you put under your tongue. Now, why under the tongue? Because, believe it or not, when you put something under your tongue, it's absorbed through your parotid, usually, into your parotid artery and goes to the brain. And so, therefore, we bypass the stomach. When people take cannabinoids, so they go to the dispensary and they buy CBD or other cannabinoids, and they swallow them into the stomach, the liver removes about 30 to 45% of the cannabinoids. Right. So your dose is reduced, the effective dose through the stomach. Whereas when you do it under the tongue or on the tongue, the dose you get is the dose that is effective because it is, all of it is absorbed and not removed by the liver. So we are developing a drug. It's already been approved in another format as a spray, but it contains 50% alcohol, and it tastes horrible. But it's a good drug, and it's to treat MS. But so we've reformulated it into a sublingual tablet, which if you go to your store in pharmacy, many of the drugs you get over the counter come in a little aluminum packet.
Right.
These, many of them are for what we call sublingual. Especially, I think there's a diarrhea medicine that. Yep. So these are a common delivery system. It's not innovative in itself, but it's innovative when you put it together with the drug to deliver a drug more directly to the brain to have a better therapeutic effect. And that's what we're doing. And we're doing for MS spasticity, we're looking at ALS spasticity, and we're also looking to do to treat adult focal epilepsy with CBD using a sublingual drug as well. So we're originally we started in Canada in Toronto as a company. We have now a subsidiary in the U.S. So we've bridged the border as a Canadian-U.S. And we're also in Prince Edward Island in the Emergence Incubator there for a while. So we've been very Canadian-based. Many of us worked for, I was on the board of Prairie Plant Systems, also CanniMed, which was we sold to Aurora many about 5 years ago. So we're very much understanding what the Canadian opportunities are. And this is really a company that started in Canada and is growing worldwide. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Bruce. That was great. So, Kirk, I keep forgetting till the end of it. I'm Trevor Schufeld. I'm the pharmacist.
Oh, I'm not ready to introduce myself. I wanted to congratulate you. I thought going down the CanMed 23 and sitting on a panel and talking with Ethan Russo was fascinating. And I was thinking about you, and I compliment you on doing so. Well done.
Well, and since we're talking about the panel, I'm going to talk about one of the other panelists was Professor Didi or David Amiri from Israel. Another super fascinating dude. On top of everything else, there was sort of a memorial dinner at CanMed 23 for Dr. Raphael Mechoulam, the literal discoverer of THC, and Dr. Amiri worked with him, sort of consider him sort of a grandfather-like figure. But back to our previous bit about, you know, should cannabis be picked apart for its cannabinoids and throw those at an indication, or should you use the whole plant? Dr. Miri was also another person who figures as a third way, and he gave sort of a wrap-up talk about, you know, he's actually discovered new cannabinoids. And one of the cannabinoids, after much looking at it, they found this one single cannabinoid that could probably be used to treat breast cancer. But then a little later on, they found a combination of three cannabinoids that could be used to treat leukemia. But you couldn't just use one, and you couldn't just use two. You literally had to use all three of these cannabinoids that they discovered, or it just didn't work. So he was another one of these. It's probably not going to be an all or nothing. It's probably, yeah, there are probably going to be individual cannabinoids that can come out and treat something, but other things were probably going to have to be treated with teams of cannabinoids. So, you know, the whole plant versus the individual cannabinoid, probably a bit of a false dichotomy.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff, though, this plant medicine.
It is.
And I guess I'm Kirk Nyquist. I'm the registered nurse, and we are found on reefermed.ca and most of the podcast platforms. We ask you to give us a rating and tell a friend. We've got over 100 episodes up, got a very dynamic webpage. And we got a guy on the team that hobnobbles with famous people.
It was a lot of fun. So I'm going to pick music for the end of this one. So I've been, you know, listening to other podcasts, and I was listening to a really fascinating one about Nine Inch Nails and Johnny Cash doing a fantastic cover of one of their songs called Hurt. And I love the song, but it's a little dark. And then another one about Kermit the Frog and Rainbow Connection. And I love that song too, but that might be a little fluffy. So for the end of this one, I'm going to the Tragically Hip and So Hard Done By, because, you know, I may have whined once in a while about long flights and burnt heads and things going in. But, you know, people like, say, my wife, really think all my whining about going to Florida, I'm really kind of whining about being so hard done by. So, you know, I think Tragically Hip, So Hard Done By is a good way to end this episode.
Also, always bring a hat.
Well, yeah, I stuffed the hat in the bag because it's bald. There's nothing there.
Hey, I'm working on it too. I'm working on it as well. All right. Congratulations, Trevor. That was well done.
Yeah, no, it was a good time. And come on back. We've got lots of good episodes coming up.
Like the show? Let us know. We're Reefer Madness on Instagram and Facebook, at Reefer Madness on Twitter, or head over to the website at reefermed.ca to find out what we're all about and what's coming up next. Talk to you later.
Interesting and sophisticated, refusing to be celebrated. It's a monumental big screen kiss. It's so deep, it's meaningless. One day I'll just up and quit, yeah. It just then the stripper stopped in a coughing fit. She said, sorry, I can't go on with this. Yeah, that's awful close, but that's not why I'm so hard done by. It was true cinema, a clip. You should see it before there's nothing left. Too small to be tragic. You'll have to wait a minute, cause it's an Instamatic. Yeah, that's awful close, but that's not why I'm so hard done by. I'm so hard done by. I'm so hard done by. I'm so
okay, so I'm hitting end. No, don't do that yet. Don't end me for all. End recording, dumbass. Stop recording. Yes.